This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
844, 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Brian Taylor, director of the Moynihan Institute of Global Affairs. The Maxwell School at Syracuse University, his most recent book is Russian Politics, a very short introduction. Good morning, Brian. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Tommy. I'm well. Thank you.
Let's talk about the prospect of it being a Happy New Year in Ukraine, and I guess actually for Russia, too, even though Vladimir Putin, the aggressor, I don't think the people of Russia are necessarily for this. Let's start with that, as a matter of fact.
Well, if we're hoping, if we think a Happy New Year for Russia and Ukraine means a peace deal sometime soon, I don't think we're going to have that kind of Happy New Year. I think there's been a lot of discussion in 2025, a lot of back and forth in the media and between Russia and Ukraine and the Europe and the U.S. But honestly, we're not really much closer to any kind of a meaningful deal. And the main reason is because Putin isn't really interested in a deal. He's interested in controlling Ukraine, and that's not on the table right now. Or if it is on the table, not in a way that would allow him to really, you know, get what he wants out of it.
And that's why I was asking, Brian, about the people of Russia. Putin can do what he wants, I guess, in Russia, but is there any reputable polling or is there any indication that the people of Russia are for this conflict in Ukraine? Because a lot of them have been conscripted, right?
Well, we do have a variety of polling data, excuse me, Tommy, that I think shows pretty clearly that most Russians are tired of this war and want it to end. Now, they may want it to end on terms more favorable to Russia than Ukraine wants it to end, but the signs are all that the Russian public is quite tired of this war, the majority of them, and they're also feeling it in their pocketbooks. The Russian economy has not done that well over the last year, and it looks to get worse in the coming year. So if Putin was interested in finding a way to get to a deal, I think the Russian people would welcome that. But as you point out, Russian people really don't have a voice over their political system.
So the whole idea behind Putin invading Ukraine, because it's been a while for people that don't remember, the whole idea behind this was he wasn't trying to stop the spread of this, stop the spread of that. The whole idea of his invading Ukraine was?
He thinks that Ukraine is naturally to be controlled by Russia. He has this view going back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. It's a mistaken view, but this is his view that, you know, Russians and Ukrainians are basically one people, and the collapse of the Soviet Union was artificial, and he's rectifying this historical wrong and bringing Ukraine to back where it should be. So that's his ultimate objective. And if you read the papers, you think it's all about, oh, this little piece of that territory or that little piece of territory. But ultimately, he wants a Ukraine that he considers friendly to Russia, which means putting in place a pro-Russian government. And you might not be surprised to hear that the people of Ukraine are not particularly pro-Russia right now, given that they've been being bombed and attacked for the last 4 years.
What is everyday life like in Ukraine?
So this is speaking only from someone watching this externally. I'm not traveling back and forth to Ukraine, but a big change over the past year is that the number of Russian missile and drone strikes on Ukrainian cities has increased dramatically, which is, you know, notable given that if you read the papers, you think, oh, they're talking about peace, they're coming closer to peace. But every night, hundreds of Russian drones and missiles fly into cities like Kyiv and Odessa and other major Russian cities. So that means people are often living without electricity. They're often living without heat. They're having to hide either in their apartments or bomb shelters. So it's exhausting for the Ukrainian population. Not surprisingly, they're also very interested in peace, but they want a peace that they also consider just and that will provide for their security going forward.
So I'm no Brian Taylor, but it seems to me if Putin's reason for doing this was to get the old gang back together again, and I'm not trying to make light of this situation at all. I don't know how he settles this without losing face, because what we're talking about ultimately here is crafting an agreement. Ukraine doesn't want to give up any land, and rightfully so, because they didn't do anything. They were just sitting there, and they were attacked, as I understand it. Accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I think the Ukrainians, you know, in principle are willing, well, they've said quite openly that they'll agree to a ceasefire, which I'll remind people was what Trump initially said he was going to accomplish, right? He said right. He was going to end this war in 24 hours, and his first starting point was to get both sides to agree to a ceasefire. The Ukrainians have agreed to that. It's the Russians who said, no, we don't want to stop. So that would be like the first step, which would mean that Ukraine would temporarily not control 20% of its territory, which is how much is occupied by Russia. And the Ukrainian people are willing to live with that if they have some guarantees from the Americans and the Europeans that Russia won't start the war again at a time that Putin feels favorable to him. But as I noted, Putin is not interested in a ceasefire. He wants the war to continue.
So what role let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because it seems like whoever can curry the most favor with the president is going to wind up maybe winning here or not, or maybe we'll talk about the role of the president in this, because if Putin's not going to be happy unless he keeps Ukraine or the part that he has already, and Ukraine's not going to be happy unless they get back what Russia has, I don't know what really the president can do here other than missiles or aid. We'll talk more. We come back 850, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Brian Taylor, director of the Moynihan Institute of Global Affairs at the Maxwell School at Syracuse. Most recent book is Russian Politics, a very short introduction. So I mentioned before the break, what role does President Trump play in this, or what can he do to get either side to agree to, I guess, primarily a ceasefire would be the first step, right?
That would be the first step, one would think. But right now they're trying to come up with a comprehensive peace plan to end the war entirely. And honestly, I don't think that's in the cards. You see a lot of talk back and forth between the Europeans and the Americans and the Ukrainians, but Putin's been pretty quiet about the deal they've been talking about. And I think that's because he doesn't want Trump to conclude that he's the obstacle to peace. But when it finally comes down to brass tacks, he's going to say no to the deal that's on the table because it doesn't give him what he wants.
He being Putin, right?
He being Putin, yeah. It's not going to give him what he wants. So I think the important question is, assuming that is how this plays out, does the U.S. reverse course again and start providing more economic and military assistance to Ukraine? Because one of the things that the Trump administration is doing different than what the Biden administration did is Trump administration said, we're not providing more economic and military assistance to Ukraine. We're willing to sell military equipment to Europe to pass on to Ukraine, but we're not providing it ourselves. So the question is, will they be willing to put harsher sanctions on Russia or provide more military assistance to Ukraine to put some pressure on Putin to end this war?
Tell me about Europe's role in this, their concerns, and why they'd be willing to buy, as silly as it seems, to buy defense weapons from military weapons from the United States. And then,
hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Provide them to Ukraine.
Well, for the Europeans, your Ukrainian security is European security. This is, in some sense, the front line, and the Ukrainians have been doing all the fighting and dying for the last 4 years. But many of the European countries worry that if Putin succeeds in Ukraine, you don't know where he's going to go next. And will it be, you know, one of them? Or even if he doesn't attack one of them, it's going to mean, you know, a Ukraine that's under Russian control means all these European countries are going to have to be increasing their military spending and preparing for a possible war. So it's in their interest, I think most of these governments believe, to help Ukraine with economic and military assistance, which they've been doing from the beginning and doing more than the U.S., I would say, and certainly over the last year. And just last week, the Europeans came to a deal to basically finance most of Ukraine's budget for the coming year, which helps keep Ukraine, you know, in the fight and able to resist the Russian invasion. So Europe's playing a huge role. And the question will be, if these peace agreements that have been going on for our peace discussions that have been going on for the last year don't yield anything, what does the U.S. do? Does it just walk away, or does it, you know, put more pressure on Russia, or does it try and put more pressure on Ukraine, which is, it looked like it might do earlier this year. But at the moment, the Europeans are the ones who are doing most of the economic and military assistance. And the Americans are leading the peace discussions, but so far, you know, no deals on the table, really.
I'm a dumb guy who lucked in a lot of different things in his life, Brian, but it seems to me until Putin is gone, nothing's going to change.
That is a grim view that I think is probably close to accurate. Mm-hmm. The only thing that might change that is if he feels that he has no choice but to, you know, try and wind this down.
Let me ask you about that, about sustainability on either side. Then it would seem as though either the United States and Europe, or the United States through Europe, or just Europe, is in a better position than is Russia to sustain this. Thoughts?
Well, it depends on how much Europe and the U.S. are willing to provide. Certainly, if you take the European economy just on its own, it's far bigger than Russia. But, you know, Russia has been spending 8% of its, you know, size of its economy, its gross domestic product, on this war. Europe spends, you know, 3-4%. So,
but Europe can't back down on this, can they?
I don't think. I mean, the first thing I guess I should note is Europe, of course, is just not one country. It's right. A whole bunch of different countries making their own decisions. But I think the majority of the major European countries think, no, it can't back down on this. It can't let Russia just take Ukraine. So, yeah, that will keep the pressure on Russia. And so far, Russia's been able to withstand the heavy casualties they're taking every year. But one thinks that with more economic and military pressure, you know, Putin might start to run out of assets. But that's probably not going to happen without additional pressure over the next year and maybe two. So I think you're right that we're still looking at continuing this war going through 2026.
Is there a way to craft an exit for Putin with honor out of this, or with dignity somehow, so he can say he won even though he didn't?
I think he could sell many things to the Russian population. And I think he could say, look, we accomplished our objectives. We taught NATO a lesson. We've got control over this territory, which is historic Russian lands. And the nature of the Russian political system is, you know, he can hold on to power as a dictator, right, just change his message. So if he wanted that out, I think it's there for him. I just don't think he wants that out.
Hard-headed. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time, Brian. Happy New Year. Brian Taylor, Director of the Moynihan Institute of Global Affairs, Maxwell School at Syracuse University. Most recent book, Russian Politics, very short introduction. I don't see anything changing as long as Putin's running the show. We'll take a break, come back, spend an hour talking about GLP-1's new pill form and more on WWL.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.